Getting into the holiday season, today being Thanksgiving, you know, Thanksgiving is traditionally a time where everybody turns their heart to what you can be and what you're supposed to be thankful for. I want to take a different look because, you know, I know this. There's a lot of people and a lot of times that when you're going through things, you can look at their circumstances and the situations you're in and going through and things around you. And you may say, Cricket, I have so much more to be unthankful for. And there's so many hard things that I'm facing today that you really have to stretch or fake it or pretend to try to be thankful during Thanksgiving. And so today, over the next few minutes, we want to share and we want to show the purpose and the reason for Thanksgiving in your life. You know, God's plan for you was never for you to go through times and season of hurt and hard and brokenness. But the truth is, we go through them. So the question is, why is it we go through such hard things? And why is it that we have to go through situations that are so unpleasant and that are so real and that are so lonely and that are so heavy? Well, you've got to understand all that has taken place. The Bible says when God created Adam and Eve, He put them in a place and He put them in a world and He put them in an environment that was absolutely perfect. And every need and every desire and every want and fulfillment was met by God. God put them in the Garden of Eden and everything there was perfect. And every want and every desire and every longing they had, they were met. God, the Bible even says He looked at Adam, and when He saw that Adam was lonely, He said, you know what? It's not good for Adam to be alone. So there in the Garden of Eden, He took and put him to sleep, took out a rib, and He created a woman. And then He put in the family to where, because your needs and your importance and your feelings and your emotions and your loneliness and the things that you go through are very important to God. And when He created the human kind, He put them in a place, and His plan and His desire for your life to be perfect and your life to be fulfilled and you to live in a place where He could come and commune with you every day, and that your life existed to be able to rise up and do what brought you purpose, and for Him to come and spend time with you and your relationship with God be so open and together that everything and every moment and every day of your life was satisfied and fulfilled. So that being God's plan, what happened? How did we get from there to here? Well, the Bible says that sin did that. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the consequence of sin is so great. It took God's plan for your life and my life, and it took it out of God's hands. And it put it into a place we call a fallen world. And in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says when Adam and Eve sinned, that it separated Adam and Eve from God. Therefore, it separated the humankind from God. And that's why me and you now live in a world that has been separated from God. And the Bible says this. The Bible said that when they sinned, God had to put them out of the garden. It says when He put them out of the garden, He had to put angels standing outside that garden with flaming swords at the gate, because sin cost so much that they could not get back into the world or the plan that God had created for them. But God didn't give up on us at that point. From that moment on, God began to work and God began to move and God began to change everything from then to now to make sure you and I could get back to a place to live in that perfect plan that God has for us. So for thousands of years, though, after the Garden of Eden, because sin and the price of sin is so great, men could not live in what you would say God's plan, and the word used in the New Testament is God's kingdom. And so for thousands of years, men had to live worshiping God from afar. And that means this, that God lived in His kingdom and man lived in a fallen world. And when man lived in a fallen world, the effects of sin had a place and effect in our lives. So why are things difficult? Why do you go through hard things? See, some people think, well, this is just the will of God. No, the will of God is that your life be perfect, your life be great, your life be fulfilled, and your life be in connection with Him. But because sin was so great, it's separated. And so we were all now at this point born into an imperfect world, into a fallen world. And so God's plan began to work to get us back. And all through the Old Testament, people had to worship God from afar. And thanksgiving in the Old Testament meant something different than thanksgiving in the New Testament. And thanksgiving in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, it says this: when you have sat at a table and you are fully satisfied and your needs have been met, you're to look at God and give thanks for all He has done. Now, that to a lot of us is the purpose, the meaning, and the way we give thanks. Is when we look at what God has done, when things have come together and God has met our needs and God is satisfied and we've got enough money in our bank accounts to pay our bills and our husband and wives are getting together good and the kids are acting right and we got a great job and we look at all the good things going on in our lives and we're supposed to look at God and say thank you. And that is scriptural in the Old Testament for us to give thanks that way. Is to give thanks for what we have and for what God has done. But see, when that was told to the children of Israel, they were still separated from God. And they were worshiping God from afar. And over the thousands of years, as God's plan began to unveil and plan began to work, God's heart for you to get back to a place where you're able to live in His kingdom and under His plan and under His design began to unveil. We find ourselves in the New Testament. And now thanksgiving has a different purpose and a different meaning in our life. So we are to be thankful for what God has done. And I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know if you are saved. I don't know if you've accepted God. I don't know. But for those that have, you can look back and you can say, wow, God, thank you for all that you've done. But that is the first step in thankfulness. The second step, the more mature level, now we can find in the New Testament, because it says this. Jesus, when He came, He said this. He said, there's good news. And I'm going to paraphrase this, but He said, there's good news. See, all those generations before you, they had to worship Me from afar. But I finally come, and now I'm here. And I'm here to tell you, the kingdom of God is at hand. Meaning that what the generations before us, I can't imagine living this life without being able to get God involved in my circumstance and in my situation. But there were generations that had to go that way. But Jesus, when Jesus came, He said, there's good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, that means this. God's plan for your life and God's plan for humankind now can be lived out again when it could not be lived out in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, they could thank God for when He would do stuff. But see, now we have an opportunity to enter into a kingdom that they could not enter into. See, when Adam and Eve was put out of the gate of that perfect environment, when Jesus came, He has removed the guard from the gate. And the Bible says that there is a key to get into the gate. David said it like this. He said, enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Thanksgiving has a different phrase. In the New Testament, it says this. It says, in everything, give thanks. Now, check out what it says next. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. Now, in the Old Testament, it said, give thanks for. In the New Testament, it says, give thanks in. There's a difference for giving thanks for. Because the truth is you can't truly give thanks for unless bad circumstances have turned around, God has moved, and miracles have taken place, and God has provided for, and like the Old Testament says, when you sit at a table and you eat and you are satisfied. That's when you give thanks for. So what do you do or how do you do it when you go into a job one day and you find out the job is over? Or you're holding your sick baby and they're suffering in a way. And you look at them and you know the pain they're going through and you can't do anything about it. Or what do you do when your spouse looks at you and says, I don't love you anymore. This marriage is over. How do you give thanks for those hard circumstances and those hard situations? How do you give thanks for when it's everything you can do to try to figure out a way to get food on the table? Or everything you can do to try to make ends meet? How do you give God thanks for those things? And the truth is, you don't. You don't. Because the Bible says you give thanks for the things done. Sin is what has done this devastating things in our lives. God never brought sickness. God never brought pain. The Bible says actually God came to give life and life more abundantly. The will of God is that you have life and life more abundantly. But because of sin, we live in a sinful world. God didn't bring these things. So what do we do? How do we get back to the will of God in our lives? We do it through the Bible says things. He says, give thanks in all things. You may not can give thanks God thanks for what you're going through, but I'm telling you, you can give God thanks in what you're going through. And it's a different thing because it said, this is the will of God. In other words, if you want the will of God actively at work in your life, if you want things to come back together, if you want your life to look like you know God wants your life to look like, then what happens is we move into thanksgiving in what we're going through. And you say, that's tough. What do we do? That's what we're going to share today. Me and Pastor Thelma are going to share a few things. Because, see, the Bible says it is the will of God through Christ Jesus. So that tells me this. Give thanks in all things. First, the will of God. So if I want the will of God in my life, I do it with thanksgiving. But how do I do that? Then it says, through Christ Jesus. So what do? I turn my eyes toward Jesus. In the Bible, there are five places that Jesus gave thanks. And over the next few minutes, we're going to look at these five things. Because, see, the good things that he has in store for us, the Bible says, are at hand. They're available. I'm not taking away from the reality of the hard things that we have to deal with. But I'm here to tell you this. It's like there's a gate and there's a door. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world with hard and tough situations. But at the same time, what is available to us is a kingdom where everything changes. And on this side of the door, there may be lack. On the other side of the door, there is provision. On this side of the door, there may be brokenness. On this side of the door, there is healing. And the Bible says we enter his gates. We get through that gate. We can move into God's will for our lives through thanksgiving and giving thanks in all things as we do it. So we're going to look at these things real quick and how Jesus did it. Because, see, he wouldn't come and expect you to be able to do it if he wasn't willing to show you how to do it. So we're going to look real quick at number one. Thankfulness opens the door to salvation. In Matthew 26:26, it says this, and he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of a new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink the fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, in 1 Corinthians 11:24, it tells the same story, and it says the same thing. It says, and this is a time that Jesus gave thanks. It says this, it says, and he had given thanks. Now, what you've got to understand about giving thanks in all things is not the same as giving thanks for all things, because giving thanks for all things is what you do after God has done it. But giving thanks in all things is what you do while you're going through it. And see, the Bible says here, Jesus sat with his disciples. They were gathered at a table and he said, thank you, God. This is my body that is broken. Do you realize he hadn't died yet? Realize he hadn't been broken yet. But he knew what was coming. He knew what was about to take place. But what he also knew was this. what me and you were going to get out of it. He gave thanks, and it opened the door to your salvation and my salvation. I'm telling you, when I look in a mirror, I don't see a righteous man. When I look in a mirror, I don't see a saint or a spiritual. When I look in a mirror, I see the same thing you see when you look in your mirror. I see the failures and I see the mistakes. I see the brokenness and I see the times. And I know who I am and you know who you are. But I'm here to tell you, when you turn your heart, and no matter what shape you're in today, you may have walked in here the biggest sinner in this city. And the reality is that you may be. Underneath me, I'm number one, you'll be number two. But when you turn and say, God, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the grace that I don't deserve. What God does at that moment, He takes me out of a fallen world and it opens the door into everything in my life changing. The Bible says, when I thank Him for dying on the cross and I thank Him for giving His life and I thank Him for shedding my blood, His blood, and I thank Him for going to Calvary for me, the kingdom of sin changes in my life. And I become the righteousness of God in Christ. And I become a child of God. Telling you this morning, you may be a sinner coming in this door. But if you will take the heart of thanksgiving as Jesus did there and He says, thank you for your body being broken for me and your blood being shed for me. This morning and today, it will open the door to salvation in your life, which is the plan of God for you. For you not to pay for the sins that you've committed. For you not to be punished for the mistakes that you've made. Because He's already done it. But if you will just say, thank you, God. And you will accept and you will take the key. It will unlock the door. And everything you've been trying to write and everything that has gone wrong will change in an instant. You will go from a fallen state to a kingdom state. By simply using the key of thankfulness. I'm going to play a video real quick, real shortly. And if you're here this morning and you say, Cricket, I came in here unsaved. I came here not right with God. I came here unrighteous and unworthy. I want you to know you can take in the next few minutes this key of thankfulness. It will open the door to salvation for your life. You just bow your head and you whisper during the song, God, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for forgiving me for my sins. Thank you for paying the price from Calvary for me. And I ask you to forgive me for it in Jesus' name. The door to the kingdom of God will open in your life for right now. Let's go, John.
When the weight of life begins to fall. Praise the Lord. How many of you know He's more than enough for us? Amen. He's more than enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So I tell you, I love this season of Thanksgiving because we have such a good, good Father. We have such a good, good God. Let's thank Him now. Thank you. Thank you, Father. You are so, so good to us. We love you, God. And you know, I have four children. I have three boys. And during the Thanksgiving holidays, I have to cook lots of greens. Chris sent me a little video. He said, this is what I'm going to do when I come home. And it had a picture of a pot of greens with some ham hocks in it. And somebody was saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I texted him back. I said, is this a hint? You know, so, you know, but I tell you, we have so much to be thankful for. And I'm telling you, it grieves God when we are not thankful. It grieves God when we are complaining and grumbling about what we don't have. It grieves God. Because, you know, what about the widow that had the two mites? She put both of them in. So, I mean, we have so much more to be thankful for. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to talk about how thankfulness opens the door to provision. God is our provider. He is our source. Amen. And in Matthew chapter 15, verse 36, the Bible says, and He took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks. He broke them and gave them to His disciples, and the disciples gave them to the multitude. See, when we're thankful like Jesus was thankful, guess what? He'll give you more. God will give you more when you're thankful. He will even multiply it. God is a God of increase. Everybody say that. God is a God of increase. Amen. And He is a God of multiplication. He is so good. Praise the Lord. But listen, we're not going to focus on the little we have. We're not going to be talking about, you know, what we don't have. We're going to give Him thanks for what we do have. We're going to give Him thanks for what we do have. Praise the Lord. And that's what pleases God. And so, you know, Jesus, He didn't look at how many loaves of bread. He didn't look at, well, it's seven loaves and a few little fishes. What am I going to do? No, guess what? He just gave thanks to God. He gave thanks to God. And that's what we should do. And I can just imagine what the disciples were thinking when Jesus told them, He says, have everybody sit on the ground. It's like, Jesus, what are you doing? These people are so weak when they sit on the ground, they're not going to be able to get up. But you know what? See, that God, He was faithful, and they were able to multiply those bread and those fish. And guess what? They had leftovers. Amen. You know why? Because God is El Shaddai. He is the God who is more than enough. He has more than enough. He has more than enough. And that's what happens when we give thanks to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you know what? We're not going to look at the little that we have in our checking account. We're not going to even look at what our salary is. We're going to look at God. And we're going to focus on Him. Let's lift our hands. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You bless us, God, with what we have. Lord, we thank You. We thank You and thank You, Lord. And sometimes we have to offer what the Bible says, sacrifices of thanksgiving. Sometimes we have to sacrifice and just thank God anyway. And just thank Him. Why? Because He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. And I'm telling you, and guess what? We're going to thank Him. We're going to thank God, our Father, because He is our source. God is our source. I mean, not your job. Don't be complaining about your job and your boss and all of that. God is your source. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. Amen. So we're going to look to Him for whatever we need. God doesn't want us to depend on our jobs and depend on our money, our bank account. I mean, all those things are temporal, but we're just going to thank Him. It's like Cricket said, in everything. in everything, in times of lack, in times of abundance. We're going to give thanks to Him. Amen. Now, I'm just going to give you a little testimony. I know some of you have probably heard my testimony, but Donald and I were leaving this church on a Wednesday night, and it was at that time that we needed a vehicle. We needed a car. I mean, it was still, I had an older Cadillac, and it was still running, you know, but I knew it was time. And so, you know, I was just like, well, God, you know, I don't know how you're going to do it. You're going to do it. I was looking to Him. And so we were leaving the church parking lot, and then we got up on the streets, you know, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, thank me for your new car. I said, Donald, God just told us to thank Him for our new car. So we just began to lift our hands, you know, Donald was driving, so I had to keep one on the wheel. But anyway, we were lifting our hands and we were thanking God. We said, Lord, thank you for our new car. Thank you for our new vehicle, God. Thank you, thank you. You know, in my mind, I was thinking, well, you know, He probably going to give me a good deal. You know how you try to figure things out, you know. So anyway, I was like, I don't know, God, but whatever you're going to do, you're going to do it. That was on a Wednesday night. Friday, somebody came and handed us the keys to a new car. And so, you know, God is so good, but you just thank Him. Thank Him. He is the provider. He is the provider. He is your provider. He is your source. But start thanking Him now before you even see it. Thank Him now. And guess what? You will see it. You thank Him because He is the one that's going to supply all your needs. He is your provider. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord another hand for Him being our provider. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He is a good, good God. And then, you know, thankfulness also opens the door to revelation and direction. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, this is what the word says. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Amen. Now, Jesus was thanking God for hiding spiritual secrets from the know-it-alls in that day. You know, in that day, the know-it-alls were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers and the scribes. But He revealed His spiritual secrets to babes. So that means, you know, if you have a heart like a child and you just believe what God has told you, you just believe His word, guess what? God will reveal His secrets to you. He will. He will reveal things to you. And you know, and so the Lord was telling me to tell you, don't be a know-it-all. Don't think you know everything. Don't be prideful. You know, don't always have the last word to say, because all knowledge and all wisdom comes from God. All of it comes from God. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, this is what the word of God says. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So all that knowledge and all those things you think you know, I mean, watch out. God says He'll destroy that, because He wants us to look to Him for everything that we know. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know what babes do? They obey their parents. They listen to their parents. You know, little kids, you know, I was thinking about, the little children, the little kindergarten children. You know, I couldn't work in kindergarten, because I remember one time, Elaine, India was teaching kindergarten and Colin was in there, and she said him to me, you know, I was just like, oh, what? He says, mommy is mad with me. I was like, oh no, she's not. He says, yes, she is. I started trying to change the subject. I said, you know who works here? Your mama works here. And your papa works here. You know, I was like, I'm terrible in kindergarten. But you know what? They just believe what their parents tell them. They have faith. They have childlike faith. And that's the kind of faith we should have. When our Father tells us something, we should just believe that we receive. Amen? And you know what? Guess what? God will give us more. He'll tell us more. And then He will begin to direct our lives. direct our paths because we have childlike faith. And because he's the one that gives us the revelation. You know, when I first started teaching at Victory Christian School, Cricket was in my first class. Was anybody praying for me? But anyway, it wasn't just Cricket. My son was in there, several kids in there. But anyway, I got this saying, you know, I know it was the Holy Spirit. I was teaching something and I said, you don't have the revelation. You know, in other words, they didn't have the understanding. They didn't understand. I said, and I asked one kid, I said, do you have the revelation? He says, no, ma'am. I said, you know, because I saw some question marks on your forehead in the spirit. So I know you didn't have the revelation. But we need to get the revelation. We need to get the understanding that God is so good. And he wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to reveal his word to us. He wants to reveal his will to us so that we can have direction, so that we can have revelation and understanding. You know, and the Bible, I love the scripture. It's in Psalms 37, 31. He says, say that God will give us the path of life. He will give us direction in his presence. You know, that's filled fullness of joy in his right hand, pleasures evermore. But in that Psalms 37, he says, the word of God is in his heart. I want y'all to say this. Say, the word of God is in my heart, and none of my steps will slide. None of my steps will slide. See, God will reveal to you. He revealed himself to you and show you the direction that you need to go. Amen? How many of you need direction for your life? Well, God will reveal it to you in his presence. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so then, sometimes I just want to thank the Lord that I don't know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all we know. Jesus and him crucified. And so when we say, Lord, I don't know. Show me. Show me your way. Lord, reveal yourself to me. How many of you know he'll do it? He will reveal himself to you and he will show you the things that you need to do. In John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And then I add, and I can know nothing. I can know nothing without him. And you know, even when Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? And he said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You know what? Peter didn't know that on his own. He didn't know that on his own. Jesus said, the Father is the one from heaven that revealed this to you. Amen. He is the one. And so I want you guys to say this again. I'm going to teach you. You don't have to have kids to repeat after me. Say, I have the revelation that I don't know anything apart from God. Apart from God, we don't know anything. And then the person that thinks that they know something, the Bible said they don't know it like they ought to know it. Anyway, amen. Praise the Lord. So we just want to be babes, humble, listen to our Father, and we want to be like sheep that hear his voice, amen, and we follow him if we're thankful. Thankfulness would open that door for revelation and direction. Let's give the Lord a hand.
Thank you, Jesus.
The first time Jesus gave thanks, it was concerning your salvation. It opens the door to your salvation. Secondly, it opens the door to your provision. Focusing not on what you don't have, but what you have. Giving thanks allows God to move and provide in your life. Secondly, for direction. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't have any idea where you're going, how to get there, and what to do. Start thanking God for his plan for your life. And he will reveal it to you. Number four is, thankfulness opens the door to the miraculous. You know, a lot of times we thank God, if you could just do this, or you could fix this, or you could heal this, I would thank you and I would serve you the rest of my life. That's thanking God for. But Jesus thanked God in. The Bible says in John chapter 11 that he showed up at one of his dearest friend's funerals. brokenhearted and heavy, tears running down his face. As a matter of fact, it's the only place in the Bible that said Jesus cried. So it tells me what he was going through was real. What he was going through hurt. What he was going through was hard. And what he was going through looked like it was the end. But the Bible says in that state, while tears were running down his face, the Bible says Jesus prayed this prayer. John chapter 11, 41 says, "And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me.'" In your life, I know there's an area where you desperately need God to move. And I want you to know it will take an absolute miracle for that situation to change. It may be your kids, it may be your health, it may be your finances, it may be your relationships. It may be, I'm telling you, that I know every single person in here has an area that they need a miracle to take place. And you didn't come see Jesus begging. You didn't come see Jesus agonizing. You saw him hurting because a dear friend of his died. And it was real. The Bible says he prayed and he said, "God, I thank you for hearing me." And when he said that, the door to his miracle unlocked. And the Bible says Lazarus walked out of that grave, living again. I'm telling you, if you're here this morning and your marriage is dead, if you're here this morning and your children spiritually are dead, if you're here this morning and your finances are dead, you just start saying, "God, thank you for hearing me." And it unlocks the door for God to do a miracle in your life today. It takes you out of a fallen world, moves you into a kingdom world where God's will can take control. Number five says thankfulness opens the door to ministry. The will of God in your life is for him to use you. God wants his will to be revealed in you so that when people see you, they can say, "Wow, if God would do it for him, maybe God could do it for me." There is a ministry call on your life in this room this morning. Most people never can fulfill it because they never can move into a situation of thankfulness before. They're trying to give thanks after. This is what it says in John chapter 6, verse 11. It says, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those that were sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted." This is where Miss Thelma was talking when Jesus fed the 4,000. Here, the story is when Jesus fed 5,000. And the Bible said this, there were 5,000 men and women and children. In those days, traditionally, they counted men. They didn't count women and children because society looked at the way it looked at it there. So, theologians believe that could have been anywhere from 7,000 to 15,000 people present here. And this is what the Bible says happened in that story. The Bible says the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, there's this great multitude of people starving. There's this great multitude of people hungry. We need to send them away so they can get something to eat so they do not faint," the Bible said. In other words, it had gotten to the point where they were beginning to lose strength. It had gotten to the point it had gotten dangerous. It had gotten to the point it was scary. And Jesus said this. He says, "What do you have?" I'm telling you, the key to thankfulness in your life is not focusing on what you do have. A lot of times we like to focus on, "God, I don't have enough money. God, I don't have enough patience. God, I don't have enough strength. God, I don't have..." You don't focus on what you don't have to be thankful. You focus in on what you do have. And when you focus in on what you do have, the Bible said they brought to Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But the Bible's real unique here. It says this. Do you know where they got those 5 loaves and those 2 fishes? They didn't buy it at the store. The disciples weren't thinking about people ahead of time and they prepared. No, the Bible says that there was a young boy there. Now, you got to understand the importance of this. Because do you realize that the 5,000 that were there, the 5,000 that were counted, did not include this man? This kid? As a matter of fact, he was considered the least of important of everyone there. He was so unimportant that he wasn't even in on the count. And you can actually say this, he was actually counted out. I tell you, there's been so many mistakes and things in my life, I should have been counted out. I know every one of you guys in here have times and things that you've done that would have counted you out, disqualified you, made you the one that would say, God could never use somebody like me. I want you to know something. God always uses the one other people count out. If you're here this morning and you've been counted out, or if you're here this morning and you should have never made it into the count, or you've been overlooked, I'm here to tell you, God has a ministry for you, and God wants to use you mightily in a great way. Then it said this, though. It says that Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And when he broke it, he gave thanks. Before anyone could ever be used greatly by God, there's always a season of brokenness you will go through. So is this the will of God, these hard things that you deal with and the situations you have? No, it's not the will of God. But will God take what you're going through and he will see you that you are able to be used and able to, and he will use what has broken you to be used and to multiply into others? Absolutely. So I'm here to tell you, the door to ministry is open by you being thankful for the brokenness you've had to go through. You might not have been worthy. You might not be worthy today. But you're going through hurts, and it's real, and it's hard, and it's tough to walk under or tough to carry on your own. And you're saying, Cricket, just one more straw would broke this camel's back. I'm here to tell you that God, when Jesus broke it, he said, thank you. And God was able to take it and put it in the hands of disciples and feed thousands. God wants to use you to minister to thousands. God wants to use you to minister to your family. God wants to use you to change this city. God wants to use you in a way that you never thought you could be used before. And you say, Cricket, how can he do it? He can do it through your brokenness. He can do it through your pain. He can do it through this thing you're carrying on your shoulders. He can do it through this hard time. You know, I look at Joe sitting back there in the sound booth wearing a turkey on his hat today. And I know what he's about to walk into in 4 days from now. This is the first Thanksgiving Joe's going to walk into without his mom. That is so hard. That is so hard. I mean, I'm telling you, I can't imagine. I've got my mom sitting on the front row this morning. I know what Joe's walking through his heart, and he's going in this the first day, and not just this being the first Thanksgiving. Joe and his family are gathering together at Thanksgiving to have the wake of his mother. So a day that would normally be gathered around a table with a turkey and his mom being the head of it all and the center of attention and the one who's prepared the meal, they're going to walk into a room that is set up in a funeral setting, and they're going to have a wake there that day. And you say, wow, there's no picture of what Thanksgiving should be. But that heaviness and that hard time, I'm telling you, if Joe can look up and say, thank you, God, it takes that brokenness, and he'll be able to minister into his family to where no other time will they be probably open to the ministry that he can bring. You say, well, Cricket, how can you do that? How can you do that carrying something that hard? I want to give you four things to be thankful for this morning. No matter what you're going through, you may be like Joe. Thanksgiving morning may be the funeral for your mother. Thanksgiving morning may be the hardest day of your year because you've been carrying the stress of how to supply a meal that everyone else says you need to for your family. Or you may be spending this Thanksgiving alone, broken marriage for the first time, and your kids are having to decide which house to go to. You may be here this morning and your life has been transplanted into a place where you never could imagine, and you're just doing everything you can do to get up every day and try to put all the pieces together to make the world work. And you say, Cricket, how can I be thankful? How can you be thankful when your children are sick? How can you be thankful when your bank accounts are drained? How can you be thankful when you've got a doctor's report that says that you're facing cancer? How can you be thankful? Here's four things that no matter what you're going through this year, I'm telling you, if you will be thankful for, you'll watch. This Thanksgiving will be the greatest Thanksgiving you've ever had. Number one, you be thankful for his grace. The Bible says that it was by grace you were saved. God's grace is the power for you to get through what you're going through. And you don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to carry it on your own shoulders. God has the grace to get you through. And grace is not permission to sin. Grace is power to get through what you're going through. And it's a power that endears you, it'll come upon you. And when you begin to say, God, thank you so much for your grace. This is so hard, but thank you that you are putting in me your grace and you have given me your grace. You will find a power that you've never had before to walk through things that you've never thought you'd be able to walk through. The power of God's grace will walk you through what you never thought you could walk through. And the minute you start saying, thank you for your grace, God, it will begin to fill you and will begin to strengthen you and will begin to straighten you up and begin to get your shoulders strong and will begin to allow you to pick up your rest of your family and your loved ones and carry it through it with you. So let's just say, thank you for your grace. Just whisper to them, say, God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace this morning in this situation, in these circumstances. Number two, every single person in here, no matter what you're facing this morning, you can thank God for the plans He has for you. Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of good, not of evil. Plans to give you a future and plans to give you a hope. I want you to know, God sees best in dark. God can see. In the beginning, it says everything was dark and void. And He said, let there be light. He knew there was a need for light, and that's why He was there. He can see in the dark. And if you're in a dark time this morning, you need to understand, His plan is not for you to stay this way. He has good plans for you. He is, the Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard the good things that God has in store for you and for those that love Him. And I'm telling you, if you'll choose to love Him and if you'll choose to thank Him for the plans that He has for you, they will begin to unveil in your life. And I'm telling you, it will not stay this way. Every single person in here can say, God, this is tough, but I thank you that you have better than this plan for me. It will not always be this way. The Bible says, weeping will last for a night, but joy will come in the morning. He has good things planned for you. Number three, every single person in here can thank Him that He's always with you. You're not alone in this situation. Loneliness is real. Loneliness is heavy. Loneliness, as a matter of fact, the first great need that man had in a perfect world was to not be alone. And problems and difficulties and situations, no matter, you can be in a crowd of people, will isolate you and make you feel alone no matter what. I was reading an article last night about Leonardo DiCaprio, the biggest star on the planet rated right now. And he was telling someone how alone he was. Fame had brought nothing but loneliness and heartache in him. And so he travels the globe and the planet to try to find purpose and lasting friends. Doesn't matter what level of success you get on, loneliness is still real. And I'm telling you, I know when you get the doctor's report or when you're under the stress of the money, financial, and you're in a bad relationship, you feel like you're the only one. I'm here to tell you, you're not alone in this situation. And this Thanksgiving, you can give thanks no matter what you're going through, that you're not alone, that He's with you. He's given you a promise. He said, I will always be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That means even when you blow it and even when you mess up, He's not getting away and you got to run back to Him. He's right there. All you have to do is turn and say, thank you, God. Thank you for being here with me the whole time. I'm telling you what it is right now in your life. God is with you.